The Jazz Scene Podcast gives an in-depth look at the lives and stories of the musicians performing in Columbus and beyond. Today's episode features local jazz drummer James Gaiters. For our community jazz series, the James Gaiters Movement will perform at the Longstreet Studio on February 1st at 8 p.m. This episode is hosted by Alex Burgoyne, Director of Production for the Jazz Arts Group of Columbus.
Welcome to the Jazz Scene Podcast. We are here today with James Gaiters. Thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
James, let's just get to it. You're from Columbus?
Oh, man. I like to say that I am from Columbus. However, I was born in Columbus. I was raised in Zanesville, Ohio. Okay. And came back to Columbus after I graduated high school to go to Ohio State. So I've been here ever since. I've been here a long time. I've lived in Columbus longer than Zanesville, so.
Got it. Yeah. Do you still have family in Zanesville?
Oh, I have a lot of family
in Zanesville. There's like an Eastern Ohio scene happening, kind of. I know a lot of people from over there.
Yeah, there's some people. I thought you were talking about the music scene.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I mean, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Zanesville and in the further east, you go to Cambridge and all that.
Yeah, very true.
Yeah. Okay. Weird. I know you as a drummer.
Mm-hmm.
You play anything else?
I do. I'm a drummer. I'm also, I play bass guitar.
Right.
And I play piano.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. I started drums, and my mom, I tell the story all the time, my mom, who is a trained concert pianist, insisted if I'm going to play drums, I have to learn the piano.
Smart lady.
So they signed me up for drum lessons and they signed me up for piano lessons. And I studied piano all the way up through high school until they gave me the option if I wanted to continue lessons or not. And unfortunately, I wanted to quit lessons. You know, I kicked myself because my dad wanted me to play piano, and I always used to push back on that and tell him I didn't want to play the piano because I thought it was a sissy instrument. All I knew was my mom played.
Sure.
And I don't ever remember maybe two men growing up I saw playing the piano. I didn't know. So
I had a similar experience, actually.
Really?
Yeah. I didn't quit, but I'm sure I was inches away from quitting, you know, a bunch of times. But yeah, growing up with a bunch of women piano players, for sure.
Yeah.
My grandma.
I played, like I said, I played piano. And then I taught myself to play the bass guitar. Till I couldn't teach myself anymore, and then my mom taught me to play on all four strings.
Okay.
And I played a whole lot between the ages of 12 to maybe 18 or 19, and then I stopped playing, and I played drums all the time, but within the last 10 or so years, maybe 10 to 12 years, I've gotten back into playing, and I play regularly. So.
Cool. Nice. So you said you're from Zanesville. You went to Ohio State. Who are some of your, like, contemporaries from the Ohio State time?
Ooh, okay. Okay. Well, the first Ohio State time, I didn't know any contemporaries. Went to Ohio State for a few years, not sure what I wanted to do, dropped out, got married, then went back in 95.
Okay.
And in 95, actually it's 94. I went back in 94 and I met Mark Donovan, which was really cool. Met Mark Donovan. There's a couple other cats around that time. Mark Donovan, John Eshelman, Eddie Baird.
Yeah.
Eddie came like 95, 96. And pretty much, we were like long lost brothers. It was really weird. We found out that we liked the same things and the same music, and we wanted to talk about the same stuff all the time. And it was like the first day we were in the studio shedding, playing together. We pretty much playing together ever since.
Man, I did assume that that took a long time to happen with y'all, because you sound like that now. But if that's a miracle. It's been happening for almost 30 years.
Isn't that something? Cool. Yeah.
Very cool. I like to ask some of the guys who've been around a little longer than me, what are some Columbus venues still around or gone that you've played at, that you had a great experiences at? Thinking about the people like Devin Kunz who need to hear this kind of
stuff. Yeah. And it's interesting that I was talking to him about that whole thing, because first of all, the venues I played at, the Dell. Do you remember the Dell?
No.
Bro, that was the scene over on Parsons Avenue. It was the baddest spot.
South of Livingston?
No. North of Livingston. It was between Broad and Main. It's torn down now.
Oh, but like in that sort of like, there's like the Upper Cup is over there now.
It's like a block
cool.
South of the Upper Cup. That was the spot. Right, we played there for a few years. First it was a quartet, and then we were joined by Ferez Whitted, and sure. it made a quintet, and we played there forever, man. It was like Friday and Saturday night, and there would be people like sitting on the floor, like just checking out the music. It was a whole new scene. And then Barrister Hall, we went there after the Dell closed. No, the owner got out of the business or something, and things just changed at the Dell. So we were playing at Barrister. Before we played at the Dell, Eddie and I were just talking about how we used to play at One Nation. There was a restaurant at the top of Nationwide.
Okay.
And we used to, it wasn't like a weekly regular thing, but we had a few dates up there. Those are the three spots that really, really jump out. Derek Pinnell, who owns the Blue Note, had a spot called the Upper Room, which was really cool. He had a good run with that. Just about everybody played over there. Gene Walker played.
Oh, cool.
I'm not sure. I think they hosted Jazz and Eggs for a little bit, which reminds me of the Marble Gang. Marble Gang was over on Mount Vernon. Okay. Those are a few of the
spots.
That's
cool. That's great. Yeah, I love that. Like, it's a little sad because the history is gone.
Yeah.
All those happening clubs. But yeah, playing with guys who kind of graduated in the 90s, they have a really different experience coming from than we did.
Yeah.
I feel like I got here and everybody was like, yeah, it stinks.
Yeah, man. It was real cool also that people, not that they're not doing it now, but people were trying to set up shop in a lot of places, which was really cool because I believe it was Shadowbox Theater had a spot downtown. They called it Two Codes, I believe. It was a smaller theater, and they would have music series on Saturday nights. And my band played there quite a few times.
Cool.
Yeah. Rigsby's?
Oh, yeah. Rigsby's? Sure.
Yeah, played at Rigsby's. I subbed, you know, I wasn't the regular drummer. I subbed a few times at Rigsby's with a late Richard Lopez, man.
Okay.
So, yeah, you know, I had a couple spots to go Got to. It. Yeah.
That's cool. Tell me about, so when I listen to you, especially with you and Eddie,
mm-hmm.
I hear Coltrane and, mm-hmm. and Big Man Elvin.
Mm-hmm.
Is that has to be something that you've listened to and that is an influence? Is there other stuff? Mm-hmm. Talk about whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, you know, I mentioned our sort of connection mm-hmm. when he first moved here. It was interesting that our conversation the first day I met him immediately went to Wynton and Branford Marsalis.
Okay.
And I didn't know anybody else that listened to that music. I didn't know anybody else that wanted to play that music coming from Zanesville, but I had albums. And so to talk to him about that and to find out that he enjoyed that, that was another major influence on my / our playing. Then, of course, anything that Elvin was on,
sure.
I was into, man. A lot of Wayne Shorter. And then Elvin's solo albums.
Those quartet records are so good.
Yeah, yeah, for sure,
can't
man.
Can't get over it, yeah.
And then, you know, Max Roach with Clifford Brown sure. and Sonny Rollins. Those are like my immediate
cool.
kind of,
yeah. You can hear that now. Yeah, I'm going to listen to that Sonny record.
Yeah,
yeah. For sure. Cool. You're going to be on the Community Jazz Series coming mm-hmm. up next week.
That 1 week fast. From today.
Yeah, it really did come fast. You're playing with your band Movement.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me about Movement. What are we going to hear next week? And who's playing?
Okay. The players are the original players of the Movement. Eddie Baird on tenor saxophone, Lavelle Bradford on piano, and Dean Hewlett on the bass. We'll be playing some of our own spins on some, I don't know, I guess you can call them standards. We'll be covering some Cedar Walton, Hank Mobley.
Cool.
But then we have a lot of our own originals.
Sure.
I think it's very, very important at this juncture to feature our music. Like we recorded an album in 2002, 2003. And shortly after that is when I stopped playing. And we have since gotten the group back together and did release shows, released the album. So,
You just sat on it for 20 years.
Huh? Yeah. So it just makes sense to play the music.
Yeah.
You know. So we're playing a lot of our originals from the album and some newer stuff.
Nice.
We're getting ready for to record another one. So.
Cool.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm excited to hear this band. That's like mm-hmm. four of my favorite players. I know the piano player the least.
Mm, okay.
But I'm excited about that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's
worth being excited over, trust me. Yeah.
Looking forward to it. Is there anything like that stands out for you, something you're most excited about?
I'm excited about not only this another opportunity to play with my brothers, but just my perspective is totally different now. Without getting too mushy about it, I said before, I've always played. I'm that kid that just played,
mm-hmm.
and I've always played. And my dad's a pastor, and so I played in the church, and I've just always played, right? And so it didn't get the respect I think that it deserved from me. So coming back around this time, it just means more to me. It's more of a purpose thing. Like, I can't is a strong word, but I don't know of another word to use. But I can't not play at this point. There are things I have to do.
Sure.
You understand what I'm trying to say?
Totally. Absolutely.
And so I'm excited about that. I'm excited about the opportunity to just express, you know, my love and joy through music, you know. So
great. We're looking forward to that too. Cheers. So do you have CDs for sale?
Yes.
Great. So we'll have some CDs. Where else can we find your music?
My music is streaming on all the platforms. Cool. Good. You know, Spotify and Apple Music and YouTube and all of that. Yeah, James Gator's Movement, and then
my next question.
The Soul Revival Band project is available for streams as well.
Cool. You have one more group that I've seen once or twice. Is it still around? The hip hop thing.
We're waiting in the wings.
Got it.
There's been some interest in the band performing, but it hasn't made business sense.
Got it.
And so
fair enough.
So we haven't performed as of yet. As well, we have some music to release. We haven't released that music yet either, but yeah, Watu Utungo. It's still around. Yeah.
Cool. So we'll have you next Thursday. Any exciting performances coming up after that?
Yeah. Well, what I'm excited about, two things I'm excited about. I'm excited about this latest opportunity that I have to present a trio every Sunday evening from 7 to 10 at Parable Cafe downtown.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
Thank you for bringing that up.
That's yeah. It's Eddie Baird, myself, and George Delancey.
Cool.
And it's a very, very, very vibrant scene.
Mm-hmm.
And the people are there to listen, and the people come and they pack it out and they stay, and it's just a good situation. And
love that.
It makes a difference when you're playing for people who are in their own ways reciprocating what you're giving to them.
Totally.
It just makes the whole room electric, you know.
Yeah.
So that, and then Friday night, February 2nd, we will be playing, the Movement Band will be playing at a venue called the Citadel, which is South Parsons.
Okay.
I'm excited about that. We had a date for that Friday that fell through, and we were able to secure, you know, another night because I didn't want Lavelle just coming up here just to twiddle his thumbs, and he's going to be here for a couple of days. So another opportunity, another chance to play together, you know. So
love that.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, thanks, James, so much for joining us on the Jazz Scene Podcast today. Please join us at the Longstreet Studio February 1st at 8 p.m. for Community Jazz with James Gator's Movement. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Cheers.
The Jazz Scene is presented by Jazz Arts Group of Columbus, America's oldest nonprofit organization dedicated to advancing the art of jazz. Our theme music is titled 3/4 Times by Michael Cox. This episode was hosted by Alex Burgoyne and produced and engineered by Mercedes Aviles. Subscribe to The Jazz Scene wherever you get your podcasts.